receive notice when the matter is considered by council. Item 4 is an opening and closing of part of Schulberg Lane at Gwynn Road in conjunction with DASZ 21-2014 under file DAOC 2 of 2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Namely, Item 5 is a subdivision and rezoning at south of Ward Avenue and De La Seigneurie intersection under file DASZ 21 of 2014. And Item 6 is a variance at De La Seigneurie under file DAV 144009 of 2014D.
So we'll have the applicant come forward. And we have a number of folks registered on this one, all on items 4, 5, and 6. So again, as Madam Clerk has indicated, it's a consolidated hearing. So who all do we have here? Mr. Klein, Mr. So if we're ready to proceed,
almost. Just have a PowerPoint presentation that we're handing out. I guess I can start. My name is Brian Ward with MMM Group at 1193 Lombard Avenue. I'm here with Genstar for subdivision application, road closing, opening, and variance. And we do have a PowerPoint that can go up on the screen if my computer keeps working. So while it's starting, I can just speak very briefly to the opening application and the variance. We'll spend the majority of our time and try to be as efficient as possible on the subdivision and rezoning. The variance application is to deal with a small remnant parcel that was left over when Island Lakes, so the last phase of Island Lakes, was done. It's at the very just north of what was Precinct K, just outside, and at some point it would likely be consolidated in with the rest of the development. I can point it out when we get a map up. And it is slightly too small to meet the requirements of the multifamily zone that the adjacent land will have, so those parcels will become one at some point. And the road opening and closing is to deal with finishing off a street that was also a remnant from the last phase in Island Lakes, where there was a bit of a road stub left, and there was no clear direction on whether or not that road would continue to the south or whether or not it would turn. And based on the concept plan that's before you in the subdivision application, that road isn't needed. So there's a very small opening and closing required to ensure that we create the proper radius for public works so that that corner will meet the city's current standards. Apologize for the slow startup. It's a big file, too many pictures, maybe. Okay, so Bonavista. Bonavista is a new neighborhood located in the area known as Precinct K in southeast Winnipeg. Precinct K is located south of Island Lakes, and I guess south and east of Royalwood. It is east of the Seine River, west of Lagimodiere, and north of the Perimeter Highway. And it is approximately 547 acres. Precinct K plan, which was before this committee earlier this year and adopted by Council on July 16th of this year, provides a high-level policy framework for the development within this precinct. It provides guiding principles, vision, and policy for this development. The plan's principles and policies call for a connected neighborhood that's both internally and externally connected, a variety of housing types, opportunities for mixed-use development, density along primary roadways, and at nodes. Bonavista is approximately the northern third of the precinct. It's north of what's commonly referred to as Four Mile Road, which is a road right-of-way that exists right here and divides the precinct not quite in half. The area to the north is approximately 220 acres. The precinct plan identifies major road connections at Evelyn Reese Boulevard, Ward Avenue, and Boulevard de la Seigneurie within the precinct plan. It also identifies connections to the south for both of those local collectors, Evelyn Reese and Boulevard de la Seigneurie, connections to the west for Ward Avenue, as well as connections for active transportation with the existing neighborhoods and into the future neighborhoods. The plan further identifies higher density development along the arterial street, Ward Avenue, and at major intersections of Ward and the collectors. It identifies park spaces, both active here at the northeast corner of Ward and Evelyn Reese Boulevard, and there is a linear path network running through the subject area. So the vision and policies of this precinct plan heavily guide the subdivision and rezoning application that we're here to talk about today. And I just briefly want to touch on the process that brought us to this point. We've been working with GenStar over the past many months. GenStar acquired this land a couple of years ago and has started development and planning towards developing a new community in this location. The secondary planning process, or the precinct planning process, was a very collaborative process with the city that we worked on for over a year. It was a very inclusive process that included meetings with many stakeholders, many landowners, landowner meetings, a landowner design workshop, and an open house to present it to the public. In continuing with that process, we held an open house in mid-August for this subdivision application to inform the public, to show them what was being applied for, and to let them know when this public hearing was going to occur. We had approximately 70 people sign up and was well attended, sign up when they were there. Notices were mailed out to the surrounding neighborhoods and placed in the local CanStar paper. So this is the subdivision concept that is before you today. The subdivision design very closely follows the policy and the direction set in the precinct plan. Provides connections at Evelyn Reese, Ward, and Boulevard de la Seigneurie, with connections to the south on each of those collectors and to the west for the future extension into the rest of Precinct K. There's multifamily development focused along Ward Avenue, clustered around the intersection of Evelyn Reese and Ward with an opportunity for mixed-use development. There's also some small multifamily along one of the other collectors within the neighborhood fronting across from a large green space. Single-family development is more to the edges of the development. It provides a similar form and type of development to existing neighborhoods so that single-family homes will back onto other single-family homes. There's a very large central green space that has been accommodated. Through our collaboration with the city, the need for a space that could accommodate a future community center was identified, and a large 14 and a bit acre parcel was identified. It was sized with guidance from the city to accommodate two full-size soccer fields, which was the design parameter that they set for us. It wasn't necessarily what would be built, but a guideline for the size and a facility. So approximately 18,000 square foot building and parking structure with space for other facilities as well. And there is a conceptual drawing that we can get to later on. Park space is also provided throughout the plan area, focusing on a linear spine that does provide some nice park connectivity and path opportunities that will also be seen on a future slide. Within our zoning application, we're applying for seven zones. R1M is the medium density single family residential, is our typical single family or standard single family use. We have a number of R1S blocks, and these are principally back lane served blocks that would allow for a slightly smaller lot with back lane access and rear garages. RMFM is a medium density residential that would accommodate apartment buildings and condos, and these are focused on the larger multifamily blocks that mostly front on Ward, and that's where they are concentrated. The RMFS is the multifamily small. These are some transition lots that would accommodate townhomes and duplexes on smaller sites. They would be ground-oriented units, most likely, and they're often accessed by back lanes as well. And they're more of a similar form to the single-family homes that would be adjacent to them, so they provide some transition between larger uses in the single-family homes. We have the commercial mixed-use zone at the corner, again, of Ward and Evelyn Reese. And this provides an opportunity for multifamily, commercial, or both, if the market should support it. PR1 is the zone to accommodate the passive recreation opportunities that run through the neighborhood, principally the path system, and the PR2 site, which is the larger community outdoor park to accommodate a possible community center in the future. This map just helps to demonstrate the connectivity that's proposed within the subdivision design. The orange lines on the map are AT paths, so this would be a wider asphalt path that would connect to the path that is in Ward and run through the site. One side of each of the major collectors is provided as an AT path, along with some important connections to allow connections between the park paths and the AT paths. To allow as many people within the neighborhood and in adjacent neighborhoods to access the community center on an AT path, as well as using those AT paths by looping to park paths for recreational purposes, and to get out of the neighborhood using active transportation along Ward. The blue lines are identified as sidewalks along local collectors and again in key locations. One being along this edge, which was identified by the city administration and requested to provide a connection between this park path at the north and an east-west local street at the south end. Within the parks, there are also a path system that again complements the AT and sidewalks to provide lots of opportunities for recreation and circular path connections, as well as connections through the neighborhood to the amenity spaces. This map is just to demonstrate the hierarchy of streets within the neighborhood. The green street is Ward Avenue, is a major arterial. It, at some point in the future, would be a four-lane divided. It would be a fairly large street. It does exist in other places in the city. The yellow are local collectors to provide access for, again, local folks to get out to the arterials. And then the blue streets are the locals. And if you look closely, there are also purple, and those identify the back lanes. So there are a number of back lane served blocks in the subdivision as well. Service connections for land drainage are the green lines. Our land drainage system drains from the south to the northwest, which would connect to an existing pipe that is in Royalwood and sized to serve this land area. Water connections exist in Evelyn Reese, Boulevard de la Seigneurie, and Ward, and connections would be provided with stubs out to the south and to the west to allow for future connection. For sewer, there's a sewer, a main line that needs to be extended to provide service to this development area, and there's also a connection that will allow for future connection into Sage Creek to the east. Phase one of this development is planned for the northwest corner, with access for residents off Evelyn Reese. A temporary and secondary access would be provided along Ward and across a lot into the road network to satisfy the city's requirement for a second access. And that would also be designated as the construction access point to ensure that construction traffic is not traveling through the established neighborhood of Island Lakes. In this phase, there are approximately 205 single-family lots and one block of multifamily small, which would accommodate duplexes and townhomes, and that is the initial phase.
So are you saying the only access or the principal access will be Evelyn Reese?
The residential access would be Evelyn Reese, and then this would also be developed as a secondary paved access as per the requirements of the city. And that would be temporary. And then as future phases developed out, that access would not be provided. Okay. The next couple of graphics are a couple of graphics that we prepared for the open house to help give people an idea of what the development might look like built out. This represents a built-out neighborhood. It shows the park space with the soccer fields, space for a small baseball diamond, a building, and some other facilities. There is also another programmable park space in the southwest. For illustrative purposes, there's, you know, some space for a playground or some other facility, a more local park. There are green connections along the edges. There's green connections to the south, and there are pathways mid-block in a number of spots. That's right there. There's a variety of different housing types, yellow signifying your single-family homes, with, again, a number of single-family blocks with back lane access. There's a brown along the front here, down to the south, and some mixed in on the RMFM sites, which is more of a lower density townhome. Sure.
We had originally talked about provision for rapid transit up the rail line.
Yep.
Into the future.
Yes.
Is there provision for that? Is there space for that?
There is. This map does not show it as well as this map. And we can go back. So this piece of green PR is land that's being dedicated without credit by the developer because there is an easement across it. And that does allow for additional width to the rail corridor to accommodate BRT and AT path into the future.
So it's PR land, but it's dedicated without credit.
That's right.
So it's over and above the 8%.
That's correct.
So if I'm living next to a piece of PR land, and I'm 40 years into the future, somebody wants to turn it into rapid transit, I'm not going to be happy. Does it have to be PR? And that's more a question to. You can?
I think you can.
Can you put transit on PR land? And,
well, it depends on how it gets configured after, if it has to be an opening or however it ends up being. But in the interim, at least it's PR, and it goes directly to the city in terms of ownership, which is probably more important at this time.
Okay. So that'll be a battle for a future council to try to get
40
to.
Years. But just all the people further down there on that line that don't have any PR land behind them are going to have a train in their backyard or a bus.
Okay, good. Continue.
So a smaller multifamily. Next, we just have an example of what homes on a back lane may look like, and then the more medium density multifamily development focused along Ward Avenue in these larger multifamily sites. And lastly, just a streetscape of a conceptual view of what the street might look like. This would be Evelyn Reese Boulevard, just north of the community center site, which would be in this corner, looking to the north with small multifamily along the left, some single-family lake homes across from the retention pond, and an AT path with the street and the sidewalk as demonstrated in the conceptual plan. That's all I have for my presentation. I take some questions. Mark does have some comments that he would like to make on the administration's report, but if there are questions about what I've presented, I could take those now and can certainly come back.
I had a question. Obviously, during the fullness of this development, Ward's going to get constructed from De La Cinerie to the rail track. Now, if it gets constructed, the railroad track, the CP track, is that where the other side of Ward ends, or is there going to be a gap in there?
It actually ends here as a dead end.
As a dead end.
Yeah.
So everything on the other side will be contingent on future development of...
Well, partly on this, too, because this area will pay an area charge towards improving the future Ward area expansion and the bridge, the future Good. Bridge and all that. So they'll pay towards an area charge towards that.
Okay, so there's a transportation area charge in the...
In this one. For the precinct plan.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just wait for all the comments and then I'll ask them all at once.
Sure. Perfect.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity, to make representation on this project this evening. Over the past year to year and a half, we've worked fairly diligently with administration to build consensus around the issues as they've arisen, and to bring some clarity and some definition to the specifics of the project in a truly collaborative effort. So we're quite proud of the work that we've done to date. At this point, I'd like to discuss the reports from administration and bring attention to a few minor details in the planner's report as well as the ACG report, where we'll be asking for minor adjustments or additions for clarification purposes. The specifics of these requests, I guess, have been discussed with administration, and it is believed that they are reasonable and would not be met with any concern. So with that in mind, I'd like to draw your attention to the planner's report. We have three items here that we'd like to discuss today. The first being number one, which is provision 2A1, which requests that all buildings in the RMFS zone appear before Community Committee for plan approval. We're of the opinion that requiring two-family dwelling plans to be submitted for approval is somewhat cumbersome and not time efficient. So we would like to request an exception to that requirement that two-family dwellings come to community committee for plan approval. So we ask that the revision be that only multifamily buildings be required to come before committee for approval. Secondly, is provision 282, which requests...
You can ask why. I didn't catch why.
Well, it's a duplex. We just felt that it might be cumbersome to bring duplexes, which are more or less consistent with single-family dwellings in design bulk. it'd just be cumbersome for the committee to have to deal with a bunch of duplex plan approvals.
And you're talking, there's plan approval with the admin, there's plan approval with Riel. Are you talking plan approval with Riel?
Yes, yeah.
And that's on
RMS
zoning, which contemplates that there would be duplexes.
Yes, most definitely, yeah.
Okay.
So provision 2A2 deals with the requirement for a 2-meter in height berm along the property line, rear property line of those lots adjacent to the public reserve that runs parallel to the CPR Emerson line. We're requesting that the requirement for the berm be reduced to 1.2 meters in height. Our opinion is that a 2-meter berm in conjunction with a 2-meter fence is somewhat excessive. It creates a very large-scale mass in the rear yards of properties and is not aesthetically pleasing for the private homeowners. We've used, and there's cases in the city where 1.2-meter high berms and a 2-meter fence have been used in similar situations with demonstrated success. For the purposes of noise attenuation and aesthetic buffering, we also have the 15-meter wide buffer or public reserve that separates the private lots from the CPR line. So we figure that we meet the intent of the requirement, or that the intent of the requirement is still preserved by reducing the berm height to 1.2 meters.
Can I just ask about that, though? Because that, to me, collides with the question that Councillor Vandal just asked about. I mean, that's our one shot. That's our potential for a future transit.
That's
BRTR. So I hear what you're saying about aesthetics, but I mean, in terms of planning for the future, that thing isn't going to go in for a couple of decades, maybe. But if we, to me, it would seem that we're better delineating it if we go to 2 meters. That people won't start thinking they've got a park in their backyard. They'll realize this.
Yes. Oh, yes.
This is a first.
Most definitely. And bear in mind that it's a 1.2 meter berm with a 2 meter fence on top of that, running down the side. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're looking at a 3.2 meter in height structure, berm, and fence, the way that we're proposing, as opposed to 4 meters. So,
you're going from a 2 meter to 1.2 meter.
We're asking for a reduction in the requirement on the berm from 2 meter to 1.2 meter.
4 feet.
With a 2 meter fence on top. We're still we're okay with the 2 meter noise attenuation fence.
Good.
And the third issue, or not issue, but the requirement or item point we'd like to discuss in the planner's report is 2A4, where it is recommended that there be a 17.5-meter setback for all single and two-family dwellings along Ward Avenue. We're recommending or requesting a 16-meter setback from Ward Avenue, and this is consistent with the existing rear yard setbacks for all existing residential uses that back onto Ward east of Boulevard de la Seigneurie and actually west of St. Anne. So we're just keeping it consistent with the existing setbacks that are in place at present time.
Presentation, it looked like you already had a substantial setback there, green space setback almost. But you only have one side of Ward Avenue, you have...
Right.
It would only affect those two little nibs of Ward Avenue, right?
Yeah, here there's a 10-meter buffer, so we're asking that the setback requirement not apply here, but the other portion where it would apply is right here.
So it's just right there?
Right there, yeah. And we're asking for 16 meters as opposed to 17.5. 16 is what's consistent with up along here and on the lots of back onto Ward Avenue west of St. Anne's. So.
Okay.
With respect to the ACG report... number four, provision A6. We're asking for a request that lanes between RMFS and single or two-family residential development be provided at a 6.2-meter right-of-way rather than 7.25. The typical standard for multifamily is 7.25 meters in terms of right-of-way width. What we're asking for is, because it's RMFS, most likely duplex uses, adjacent to single-family uses, and it's primarily in this area west of Evelyn Reese, right in here. We're asking for the 6.25-meter lane right-of-way. Reason being that it's going to be built out at a density that, or a low density, in a low-density arrangement, I guess. That's no different than single-family and not nearly as dense as, say, an R2 land use. So we're asking for the smaller lane width. Of 6.25 meters, in that particular area where the RMFS abut
R1. Can you show me again where that is?
These lanes here?
Just in there.
Oh, and right here. Sorry, my apologies. Yeah.
So it's on all the small stuff, not on any of the bigger stuff.
Yeah. Just we're okay with the expanded lane in the RMFM areas, or where the RMFS backs onto the RMFM.
Doesn't create any issues for deliveries or snow clearing or anything like that?
I wouldn't think so, just because it doesn't build out at a density where where that would become an issue, and that's our contention, or that's what we're making the case for right now, is because it would build out at a low density or a lower density, there wouldn't be those types of issues that would normally you'd see in a multifamily development. So, okay. Provision number five, C5B, is similar to the previous one, in just that it relates to the lane width in terms of pavement being 5 meters as opposed to 6 meter in the RMFS areas adjacent to the R1 or the single family low density areas. Relatively straightforward. Number six, we're asking for clarification of the developer's obligation to construct Evelyn Reese Boulevard south of Ward Avenue, this portion here. And we're simply adding a clause or requesting a clause under C5D that states the developer shall install the two easterly lanes of Evelyn Reese south of Ward Avenue as required to serve the planned area. The developer shall provide right-of-way only to accommodate the additional future westerly two lanes. So the facility is designed for four lanes. We're building two, and we're providing right-of-way for the additional two in the future. And we just wanted that clarified in the ECG report. Number seven, provision 7C, or C7A8, is pretty straightforward. We're requesting clarification of the area charge provision to include the cost of financing and interest. So more or less by adding under C7A8 that the area charge calculation shall include provisions for financing and interest. Number eight, provision C7C, similar to the previous, we're requesting that the provision identifying the city's responsibility to reimburse the developer with monies collected from subsequent benefiting developers include reference to interest for carrying costs. So we'd propose to revise C7C to include a provision for interest for carrying costs. Number nine, provision C19D. We're requesting clarification that the berm along Elijah Modier Boulevard be built to an equivalent standard to that provided immediately north of the subdivision area.
Can we just back up to, you got 5D there. That's a new clause that you want to add, right? That's not amending an existing clause?
That's correct, yeah. That was an addition. My apologies for not clarifying that. We're back at number nine, provision C19D. And we're just looking to make sure that the berm built along here is equivalent in standard to the berm just to the north in the existing portion of Island Lakes, more just for aesthetic consistency. We don't want to have a look where it's kind of berm going up, berm going down, berm going up, just to make it look better from the road and make it look better from the interior, and so you have a nice consistent berm height as well as fence height.
Okay.
Number 10, provision C19E, and this is similar to what we discussed with the planner's report in regards to requesting a 1.2 meter in height berm as opposed to 2 meter in height berm for all lots backing on to the right-of-way adjacent or parallel to the CPR line. So we already discussed that with the planner's report. And finally, number 11, provision C20A. Once again, is repetition from the planner's report. We're requesting that the recommended setback for residents along Ward Avenue be reduced from 17.5 meters to 16 meters. And other than that, I mean, there's, you know, 11 requests in total, but they were minor in detail, and we figured we did a good job grinding out a good majority of the issues in advance. So I'm more than willing to answer any questions you may have on these requests at this time.
I'm assuming you've shared this with the administration already?
Yes. I mean, we provided them a copy once. We had it in a format that was in writing this afternoon, but we had discussed with them previously in meetings and over the telephone these specific requests.
You guys have a chance to review all these?
Okay, we'll get to that later, I guess. I don't know if there's anyone here from the Island Lakes Residents Group. Oh, there's Lindsay. Okay, I'll let him speak to it. Maybe I'll hear the rest of the people here and mark down questions when you come back.
Fair enough. Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
We have another number of other parties registered in support. Ms. Klein is. Okay. Bob Kurlico? No comment. All right. And Dave Bowles?
In support.
Okay, in support. Additionally, we have Paul Sunderland.
No comment.
Thank you. We have a number of speakers additionally registered in opposition. Just trying to make sure there's no one else. So we have one more in support. Dan Magus. Okay, thank you. We have a number of speakers registered in opposition. You can speak if you choose to.
Maybe you can Lindsay first.
I don't know.
Resident Association.
Okay. First, we'll hear from Lindsay Wilson.
In opposition.
Is registered for information.
For information.
Oh, he's only registered for information. Sorry.
It's all right.
Nope.
Not yet. We'll hear first from the people registered to speak in opposition who may have departed. Michelle Kading. Michelle's coming down. She was ready. Oh, she's coming to her. All right. We lost you there, Michelle.
Hello again.
Hello.
Hello.
You do have a little bit. I'm going to set that up.
Is Denise still here?
And I've got a coffee. So
and Denise is up there.
She should be down there.
Yeah.
Yes, she's up there somewhere. No, she's up
there. Donna. She should come down here again.
Maybe we'll hear from somebody else while we're waiting for the technical glitch.
Well, we gave the other folks a fair bit of time, so we'll try.
Is it the same as this?
It is.
Yeah, you can read this.
So, we will proceed then. Sorry about the delay. And thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight, and thank you for your decision earlier about that setback to the same river trail. Much appreciated. It's sometimes the devil's in the details as you follow up over the years with things like that. All right, so just to set the perspective a little bit, you know where the Genstar Bonavista lands are. I wanted to show you this because it shows you how close that parcel of land is to the Bois des Esprits Forest and the same river valley. So clearly the people who live in the new development will benefit greatly from the same river greenway.
What is the distance off?
Pardon me?
Do you know what the actual distance is?
Well, it's only about 400 meters from the railway tracks to the river in the south part of the development, so it's roughly the same. It's half a kilometer, so about a five-minute bike ride or walk. Essentially, it's quite close and accessible. And I noticed that Genstar did allow for a connection through to Dmitriev, and I believe that's a place where you can cross. You can walk over the railway tracks to access the greenway. City of Artesia is interested in preserving what is left of some of the high-quality forest area along the Greenway. This is not a new thing. It's been identified many, many years ago, and there are still some remaining parcels that could be protected, including a fairly large parcel of forest on the Smith family farm. The one that's shown in red there, that's long gone. Development went up closer to the river on that one, but the blue arrow points to a parcel that still could be protected within Precinct K. Now, this is not directly in the GenStar lands, but it's relevant because our dream is that we would be able to conserve the area shown in this map, and it's a fairly modest dream, only taking 20 acres of land to achieve it. The hatched blue areas are the waterway requirement. The yellow is getting up to the top of the riverbank. The purple shows you what we would like to acquire in terms of trails, land for trails on the upland areas. The green is forested area, and the orangey-brown section is a bit of an access node to access the system. And again, the point is that there is only about 20 acres needed to do that.
Is there any actual land in the area we're talking about?
No. The area that's being developed is completely farm-filled, from what I can tell. There isn't any high-quality natural space within the Bonavista property, the GenStar land. So you can see the forested areas there, shown in light green. There is some just south of their property on that right-of-way along 4 Mile Road. And I think there was a provision made to help protect that stand while the construction is going on the GenStar lands. So hopefully that forested stand will remain. So the plan for Precinct K, one of the guiding principles, one of the directions that was given in that, which is sort of glossed over in the GenStar application for their subdivision, specifically states that the goal is to maximize green space along the same river and to retain existing treated areas along the river and elsewhere in the precinct. So that is one of the goals or directions of the plan for this entire precinct. But as you'll see, there isn't any provision for GenStar to contribute to that. When the precinct plan was approved, there was a discussion that only the parcels abutting the land would contribute to the land dedication along the river. And so what I did was calculated those areas on a parcel-by-parcel basis and showed you them here. If you add the yellow plus the white, that's what you would get through normal land dedication procedures at the time of subdivision or development. And it's a bit of a mishmash. The parcels are scattered all over the place. They don't make sense. There's sometimes where there's nothing valuable to preserve, but that happens to be where the parcel is located. So that's just a sort of a thematic to show you how little we can do with the existing development agreement parameters if that's how it was implemented. Because the 8% or even a 10% land dedication would only protect about 9 acres of land. So in this diagram, you can see that the yellow and white might be protected, but we would lose the purple, the green, and the brown in that diagram.
And that's if we took all the green space in Bonavista and applied it south?
No, this is what you could do if you're only dealing with the development agreement parameters for each of the parcels abutting the Seine River. When the Precinct K plan was approved, there was some discussion about the remaining parcels, those ones that are shown in light gray on the west side of the tracks, to also contribute their land dedication towards the Seine River, even though they don't abut the river directly. Okay. But I don't believe that was captured in the approved document. So it's still a concern that that may not happen. So I believe what we have in the wording of the precinct plan right now is that it's only the properties abutting the river that would contribute. So so that's what's shown here.
I got it.
All right, so on to the GenStar development plan. It looks, there's many good things about it in terms of the connectivity, and there is green space, there's PR1 and 2 land preserved within the area. But when you look at the overall size of the GenStar property, it's 243 acres. The developable land, 217. The 8% land dedication would be 17.4 acres. And the majority of that is eaten up by the community center. 14.2 acres for one community center. What you can't see there in the chart, it's the average for a community center in Winnipeg is 8.5 acres, is the average size for a community center. So 14.2 acres is very high. It's considerably higher than many centers are. Other PR lands occupy 3.5 acres, and there is a slight over-dedication, apparently, of 0.3 acres. And there's absolutely no allocation to land dedication along the same river. So essentially, Genstar will not be contributing anything to enhance the greenway, the land along the St. River Greenway. And in fact, that's even spelled out very clearly in the written material that you've received there, that both parties, that's the city and Genstar, acknowledge that this over-dedication of 0.3 acres is there, and acknowledge the developers, I think this is a typo, but it was my chuckle of the day, developers' wiliness. I believe it's supposed to be willingness there to proceed with this plan with no additional cash compensation expected from the city. And then in bold, so long as no other contributions or compensations to park amenities or facilities within the planned area or balance of Precinct K are expected. So it basically rules out any possibility of Genstar contributing in any way to enhance the greenway along the same river. Just another couple slides just to conclude here. The riverfront parcels shown in green are 91.5 acres after the waterway requirement has been subtracted, leaving developable land at 93.8. There are some very small parcels abutting the river that really are probably never going to be developed, and they occupy 1.3 acres. And then if the change were to be adopted in the precinct plan that would allow those orange parcels to contribute to the greenway, that's an additional 37 acres of land. So that would bring up the land dedication at a 10% level to 13.2 acres, essentially, which is getting closer to the 20 acres in our dream, but it's still not quite there. And we're still left with some land to the east side of the tracks, 139 acres, but clearly the bulk of this precinct is Genstar's land. It's almost half of it. So that 243 acres that is a mere 5-minute bike ride to the corridor and does have a connection through to the Bois des Esprits farther north is a huge part of the precinct and is contributing nothing to enhance the greenway. The biggest problem that I can see in this comes from the fact that the amount of space allocated for the community center is 14.2 acres, which, as I said, is quite far above the average for community centers in Winnipeg. I did try to find out if this was a neighborhood community center or a larger community center, and wasn't able to get that information today. So I'm not sure what the level of facilities are that are required. But if it's just two full-size playing fields plus the rec center and some parking, you can do that in less space than 14.2 acres. And there is a need for a community center. No one at Save Our Seine is denying that, as long as the population levels pan out. It was identified that there could possibly be new community centers in this general vicinity, but they were identified, the one was identified for Sage Creek to the east of Lagemodier. You can see it there on the map, which was their preferred location in their strategy from 2009. Now it's being not built there and being proposed farther to the west, where it will overlap with the existing Southdale Community Centre catchment. And the city, well, you know that it takes about 15,000 population to sustain a community centre with volunteerism and programming. So I'm not convinced that the level of space is justified for this particular location. It's clearly centralized to serve in the Genstar property to serve Island Lakes and Sage Creek. It's not centralized in the Precinct K, which we had suggested. We had wanted it farther south so it could be back-to-back with a school property and you would have some economies where the school could share green space with the recreation center. and that was not followed up on. So we're left with an isolated 14.2-acre parcel in the middle, and it will be used a lot by Island Lakes and Sage Creek, and they have no way to contribute to the green space within Precinct K or to land along the Seine River. Just for an example, I threw in this. This is a community center in my neighborhood up in West Kildonan, size of 7.3 acres. It holds a 12,000-square-foot rec center, 85-car parking lot, a skateboard park, two, not full-size, but enough for kids, soccer fields, a baseball diamond, a playground, two hockey rinks, a skating pond, green space, and an old parking lot. So you can do a lot with 7.3 acres. And what's being asked for in Precinct K or in the Genstar lands is double that.
That's good, isn't it?
It's what?
That's good.
typically, I would agree with you that it's good. But when that purpose is coming head-to-head, bumping up against the need for protecting green space, that's where the problem lies. You shouldn't have to choose between one or the other. If they're both valid, then up the percentage of land dedication to a higher than 10%, or figure out some other mechanism to attain both goals. So we're not here to oppose the recreational land. But in this case, my final slide is, you'll see here that the emphasis is not on natural spaces. We've got 547-acre precinct. If you subtract the waterway, you're down to 514. Our dream is to have that 20 acres to enhance the greenway. That would be 3.8% of that 514 acres. The original scenario only protected 1.8%. In no one's imagination is that enhancing the greenway. 1.8%, 20 acres out of 547. It's not a big ask. The precinct plan approval, if it includes the lands to the west of the tracks, maximum we can get is 13.2, which represents a whopping 2.5% of the overall size of the area. And that would be spread out over many, many years because the parcels all come up for development at different times. So it's very much a patchwork. And if Genstar Bonavista is approved tonight, as I've said before, 45% of the precinct will be developed with zero contribution to the greenway. And I think that the all of the land dedication in the Genstar land could be easily classified as active sports fields and AT pathways, and virtually none of it going to the more passive use as you would find along the greenway. So, and that's all despite the guiding principle in the precinct plan to maximize green space along the Seine River. So, there's an imbalance between active and passive use, and I think that there is also some of the land around the rec center is sloped and not really usable for recreation, active sports fields, and if it's really not that valuable for the active sports concept, then put those 2.5 acres along the greenway. We'd love to have them. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Any questions?
No, I don't think so. I think I get the gist of your presentation.
I mean, we
do too much green space in the area.
Yeah, no. Not too much.
Lots of processes to deal with the rest of the stuff along the same.
Yeah, I mean, we
stop
do
this you, process.
You're aware, I'm sure. I mean, we have sold some community center. In my ward, we sold the old building at Greendale and took some of the proceeds, most proceeds, and applied them elsewhere, well, to another community center. So, there are other needs along the same as well. I mean, the Simca property, if that comes available, that would require a fair bit of dough south of the perimeter. So, I know we're trying to do a comprehensive plan. I really do appreciate the effort and the professionalism of that, and I'll leave it to Councillor Vandel to make more comments. But just if the 14.2 acres proves to be in excess, there is a mechanism. We do occasionally sell off surplus land around here and put the proceeds to other purposes.
Yes.
I guess the only comment I'd say is that I'm not sure where they got the 14.2 acres. I strongly suspect that everything is so very preliminary at this point to start scoping out community centers that...
Yeah. As far as I understand,
does not stop anything happening along the same at 20% or whatever, 20 acres or whatever. Like, this is completely disconnected.
Yeah, there hasn't been any consultation with the community center group to determine what the ideal size is and so on. It's really just let's get as much as we can so that we can do what we want to do down the line. We're assured we'll have enough land to do that.
Yeah, and I'm sure the people who eventually buy the homes near the community center site are going to be very appreciative of having that green space there.
Yes, yes,
as they will be appreciative of having the St. River not far away.
Mm-hmm, yeah. They will be, but I would argue that if you have a sloping piece of green space next to a community center that really can't be a functioning part of the active recreation space, then that would be better used along the same river than to just have a sloping vista that's given full credit within. Would you see that if you're balancing?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Monsieur Gautron is our next registered speaker in opposition.
Good evening, bonsoir. My name is Denis Gautron, and my address is 201 Eugenie Street. My presentation will be very brief, as I am just in support of Michelle's comments and all her information about that she shared about the land dedication and our dream about saving some precious green space along the Seine River. I just want to briefly mention the land dedication issue along the Seine River. There are, to us, a couple of reasons why we feel that the Genstar area should be dedicating some green space along the Seine River. Like Michelle mentioned, the residents in the Genstar area will benefit greatly from the proximity to the forest and to the green space. It will also give them connectivity to the north, to the Bois des Esprits, and also further south. The Seine River Greenway will also be an attractive selling feature for residences in the Genstar area. Green spaces increase the property values, and therefore that area should also contribute to the land dedication along the Seine River. This would allow us for an amount beyond 8% that is required to save the tall grass areas and existing forest. Residences sell much better when there is an attractive green space in the proximity area. I just also want to mention the land dedication for the community center. My experience in education is that when community centers and schools share a green space, there is a lot better usage of the green space. For example, in Southdale, where Southdale Community Center and J.H. Bruns High School share the same green space, it is used during the day and it's used in the evening, it's used on weekends. So you get a much better use when the high, when the school and the community center are adjacent. That would be a way of saving some green space. Perhaps the last point I would like to make is an issue with the definition of a green space. The term green space or park space leads to confusion, since land dedicated for schools and community centers, the green space, includes the building and the parking area. And that is confusing for regular residents who don't all know the information about land dedication. These parking lots and buildings are not green spaces. On paper, it appears that a large area is allocated for parks and green spaces, but in reality, it isn't. Does the city, for example, does the city intend to clarify what a green space is and what a park area is, so it is less confusing? In conclusion, on behalf of the board of Save Our Seine, I would like to thank the councillors for making this time available for us to express our views and our ideas, and hope that you will not forget the precious opportunity that there is along the Seine River Greenway to protect a small amount of existing forest and tall grass that is there. It could be done. It is within our means to do it. So on behalf of the board of Save Our Seine, thank you very much for your attention.
Merci, Denis.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you, Denis. Now we have people are for information. We have no one else registered in opposition. If you are in opposition and wish to speak, this is your opportunity. Seeing no one, we have three speakers for information, or three registrants for information. First being Lindsay Wilson.
Hi, good evening. Lindsay Wilson, 35 Breakwater Cove, chairman of the Island Lakes Residents Group. My concern is still the connectivity, Evelyn Reese and Boulevard de la Seigneurie. There doesn't seem to be any changes made since the last meeting. And I still have the same concerns about the traffic going through on Seigneurie and Island Shore Boulevard. Now, of course, the reduction in speed at the Island Lake School, 30 clicks, might stop some people from going through, so that might help. Maybe that was made just for that. I don't know. But the street configuration, we got four lanes in some places, two in others, and additional traffic coming through from off a ward. And we had asked, back in the early 90s, we had it changed. I talked about the last meeting, that we had it changed so they wouldn't meet. All the intersections wouldn't meet up. They would be staggered from the land south of us. So, and I have not heard from anybody since the last meeting.
Say that again, Lindsay?
Yes.
Well, it was back in the early 90s, we had a big town hall meeting at Southdale Community Club.
When Evelyn Reese was counseling.
Yep, before your time. And a lot of city administration was there, so it was likely after the major audit that was completed when Dan first came in. You'll remember that.
I had no gray hair then.
You're still pretty looking pretty young for a guy who's been here as long as you have.
we thought we had that put to bed back then because we didn't want it to come through Island Lakes.
But it has to.
And Ward, well, the only thing is the Ward goes out to 59, and it, when it's built, it's there now. But we still think, as we did back in the early 90s, that the traffic is going to want to come through once the roads are built, they start coming. We can't stop.
No, but
and
there's, Lindsay,
and Evelyn Reese comes right out to, right to the school ground. Right to the play structure.
Right, but like you do realize that it's two-way traffic that happens, right? Like,
yep. There's, oh yeah.
And, I mean, you know, there'd be schools or community centers or whatever it is.
They're going to go back and forth,
built,
for sure.
They're built, like especially De Seigneurie, it's built to carry more traffic for the expansion of the lands to the south. Evelyn Reese was built differently for some reason. I don't know why it was built like that, but. There's a design capacity to those roads to flow. Same thing, the pipes in those neighborhoods will have bigger capacity to flow through to other neighborhoods.
I just challenge the fact that the roads are, you know, in some places four lanes go down to two lanes, back to four.
Yeah. Yeah, but that happens as development happens, right? It's like the best example that we see in the south end is over on the Dakota. Mm-hmm. You know, Dakota comes four, two, as but it's anticipated the right-of-ways are there to extend that out to four lanes as it goes further. You know, eventually it'll go across the perimeter. But that's the way those roads are designed to, in order to be expandable like that for the growing traffic that'll come out of the adjacent lands.
Yeah, that's just right. Our concern back in the early 90s and still today, yeah. And once the roads are built, we can't change it.
Lindsay, did you get any sort of, not a guarantee, but a commitment that there was going to be no traffic through Island Lakes?
They had, at that time, they changed the road configuration and approved whatever. There was a map drawn, the whole nine yards.
Who's they? The city?
Yep. There was city administration there, tons of them at the meeting.
I don't think anyone here was, maybe Modan.
I think most of them retired.
Louis was there?
Louis?
You're not old enough to have been there, Louis.
You know what? I
is that true, Louis?
No, probably I was in school.
You were in school? But have you seen any drawings like that? I can't see us throwing away the road capacity.
People are always going to come up.
Yeah. I can understand Evelyn Reese because I was there today, and that leads right up to Island Lake School. And, you know, during the day, people are going into a 30-kilometer zone and... But De La Seigneurie is it's a major collector.
All we were asking was that the intersections be offset so that they didn't line straight up and would sort of encourage people to go the other way.
But you would still have a collector that would connect to it
just be offset.
Just be offset, but they could still be connected. So it would just make it a little more difficult to use it as a cut through.
Yep, exactly.
I see what you're saying. No, but yeah, you would still expect some traffic to
come. Sure. And okay. Neighbors are going to go back and forth, right? And if the community center ever goes, it'll be Island Lakes people wanting to use it too, right?
What are your thoughts on the community center?
When we first started, way back when, they were going to build it where Lindsay Wilson Park is now. Way back when, and then
what's
that
the
got
that park?
Shelved.
He's got a park named after him.
Oh, come on.
So, I mean, I don't know what it would do to Southdale. Like, Southdale still has to be viable. They still have a huge amount of money to pay, I think, to complete their expansion.
The nice field house facility.
Southdale,
but that Bishop Grandin and Children Crossing to go to the community center is hilarious. I mean, it's one day something's going to happen there.
Yeah.
We're getting.
So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that it's on record that we at least talked about it and made an effort to see if something could be done.
I guess we're going to... One of the biggest problems I see, Lindsay, is if you start trying to offset it, then you're driving it into what end up being more residential in nature streets. They're not the actual collector streets, so the nature of the roads change. Like that's a big challenge. Like you're when you have the roads, like in De Seigneurie is a better example than Evelyn Reese is, but when you have them like that, everybody knows the nature of that road. They're usually built wider. They got wider builder boulevards, or they'll have service roads on them, or whatever. When you start offsetting and going in, you know, just trying to make a jog to connect to what would be a residential, not a collector, you know, that's where you start creating, you know, the safety issues, I think, are greater when you do that.
But I think if they were offset, then people would probably stay on Ward and go to 59, and that's where we'd like them to be.
But I think most people will figure out 59 is the best way to go because of it'll be a direct route. But I think this first phase is going to be the challenge. Because it's the way it's set up, the way they'd set up with that secondary access is probably going to be easier to go
well into
Evelyn Reese than anywhere else. That's something that we have to talk to these guys about.
And Island Lake School is full anyway, and part of Island Lake's can't even, they're not even in the Island Lake School catch.
Yeah.
So now we're going to have, if they're going to take people from Bonavista into the Island Lake School, and we got kids that.
I'm living through it with Waverly West. And, the school planning is one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen when it comes to new development. It's like you can't get a commitment out of them, and the rules keep changing all the time as to whether you can have single track or dual track schools. And I think most kids, can have a school across the street from them and not even be able to attend that school, depending on whether they're going to French immersion or English school. So there's some silly stuff going on with our schools, and I don't think we can solve that.
We're not going to solve it here.
in this process. But
okay. So any further questions for Lindsay? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good luck,
Lindsay.
Thanks.
Wilma Sotis is the next registered. Okay. Thanks, Wilma. And lastly, Jason Salamanyuk. May have misread your last name there.
Solomon Dick. Jason Solomatic, 82 Sabrin Place. Actually, my questions, I'm not really sure if this is the appropriate venue. They're more specific to GenStar. I'll ask them anyway, I guess we'll see if there's any follow-up. First with, Schulberg, Sabrin, Nordstrom, and Gwynn, those four particular roads that are in the catchment south of Island Lakes, the newer catchment
area. Can you say
area.
Those again?
It is Schulberg, Sabrin, Nordstrom, and Gwynn.
Right.
So they're at the very southeastern piece of Island Lakes. So we're just curious, as I'm here with for a bunch of people that live in that area, me being one of them, on when the phase south of that, when the development plan would be for that. As we know now, as we heard, phase one will be at the Evelyn Reese area. So that was the first question. Don't know if there is an answer available for that.
We'll ask it.
Okay.
That's the southeast.
South.
They'll come back, and I'll ask them when they come back.
East pretty well.
So
okay.
Sticking around.
Okay. Okay. Second question we had was, how close will the homes be built, back-to-back at Brian Monkman, Ebb Tide, and Sabrin Place, as all three of those roads are parallel to the new development area? The third question is, there are three triangular spaces at the end of De La Seigneurie, specific to Schulberg, Gwynn, and Sabrin. Two of them very small, one of them a little bit larger. I'm just curious at what is going to happen with that particular green space, if anything at all. And the last question I had was I didn't see on the map if there was any any commercial facilitation going into the field at all, or if it was just residential 100% and the community and school.
We're getting into an area that's kind of out of our piece here, but would it be okay with you if we just asked GenStar if their consultants would be willing to sit down and meet with your group of residents to discuss those specific issues?
Absolutely. Yeah, more than fine.
Good. Okay. Because I think it has some bearing on what we're doing here, but it's not really in the domain.
That's what I wasn't sure, yeah. So,
but I think it's good to get out ahead and to identify those, because those are some odd-shaped pieces of land, and as residents, it'd be good to be able to steer that a bit with GenStar.
So, okay. So that's all I had.
How long have you lived in Island Lakes?
I've been there in that particular piece since its inception in 2008. So I've been there since then. So 6 years.
Do you have any thoughts on the green space and where the community center is scheduled to go?
You know, this is my first time seeing most of it. I appreciate what Michelle and Denise said about Save the Seine. It's wonderful. I appreciate what GenStar did, providing the information that they're giving. I don't have any immediate feedback until I can, maybe let it soak in a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I'm there's some frustration because of where I live. You know, I have a beautiful farm to look at. But then there's some elation that I know that there's going to be some nice opportunity for the area as well, which is good. So on the fence, so to speak. But
yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Plan it right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's it. That's everybody. So we'll have the applicant, if they so desire, come back to respond.
Want to deal with the general stuff, and then we'll go into this stuff.
Yeah.
Because we need Louis input on some of this. So we'll get advice. Okay.
The plan approval will be last. Not the plan approval.
Yeah, the ACG.
Let's
see why there's FONRAC.
Maybe what we'll do, guys, is just go through the stuff that was presented. We'll have some conversation or questions for you regarding the ACG stuff that you presented as well. We'll want to get some information from our administration as well on that. So if we can deal with the public comments or the stuff that pertain to the presentations first, and then we'll engage on the other stuff.
Mark, you had, I believe I recall where you said the school site, community center site, may be interchangeable. Is that accurate? And the school site is just south of that, right?
Yeah, as we'll put a map, a land use map from the precinct plan up, there was two primary active recreational spaces provided, one north of 4 Mile Road and one south of 4 Mile Road. The intent was to provide spaces that were equally accessible to all residents throughout the precinct. Just let me get my little pointer.
The stars.
Oh, you are right there. And then there's a pathway, so kind of like an activity node with a linkage between the two. So all residents within the precinct have access to some form of active recreational opportunity. And so simply when our subdivision came up, or when it came time to do our detailed design, it was brought to our attention that there was a need for a community center. The requirements were more or less given to us what the appropriate size for said community center would be. We configured the site in discussion with the city in terms of how it would look, where it would be.
Given to you from who?
Pardon?
From who?
Community Services and Parks.
Community Services?
We discussed the location, the configuration of the site and the size of the site. That would be sized to accommodate two active sports fields, soccer fields, full-size soccer fields, and an 18,000-square-foot community center facility with associated parking. And then the precinct plan, if we take a step back, there was a provision made for another active park site in the south that could be a school site as well, too. So you could have either or at either location, but in discussion with the city when we were planning for this, the community center was brought to our attention.
So there's no land being optioned for a school site anywhere in the development?
Not within the Bonavista lands, no. But there is a provision south of 4 Mile Road for the location of a school
site. So in that, everything north of 4 Mile, which is, I don't know how many acres?
220 developable acres.
Developable acres.
Yeah. The school divisions were consulted as part of the precinct planning process, and they identified the need for possible school sites in the future, and the precinct plan allows for them to identify and acquire lands in the future, and asks that those school sites be co-located with active park spaces, or suggests that that could be a way to do it. The precinct plan doesn't identify a specific location for a school or a community center, just providing direction that both of those be co-located with active park spaces to provide some efficiencies. So the active park space in the Gen
Center. I think the land sizes are good. I'm just a little concerned that there's not more conversation about a school at this point in time, because what will end up happening is it's happening with Waverly West right now. It's sort of the pressure gets pushed over into the existing, and it creates problems in existing neighborhoods. We heard somebody mention today the Island Lake School was already full. Mm-hmm. I don't know, have they started constructing in Sage Creek yet, the school?
Not to my knowledge.
I think one is getting close to planning, and there is one school site still.
Site plan is going along.
Yeah. So our understanding when we did the precinct plan was with the new schools that were being developed in the area, principally Sage Creek, they didn't foresee a need for a school in this portion of the precinct. Which is why, through our subdivision process, that need hasn't been identified.
Okay, community center. Let's talk about traffic, transportation.
I was on Evelyn Reese today, actually, and it's...
The road.
The road, yeah. The road. And the road leads leads directly to an elementary school. It doesn't seem ideal to me to be a point of egress and access for a neighborhood. You've heard the Resident Association of Island Lakes come forward. You know, I think in an ideal world they don't want any traffic going there, but it's they're part of a larger community. What would is there any strategy out there to mitigate all the traffic going up Evelyn Reese into the elementary Island Lakes Elementary School?
So as part of this process, there is a traffic study that goes along with it. And it does identify, that there will be trips going north into the neighborhood, certainly. It is connected to by a residential collector, which is the same category of street that Evelyn Reese was stubbed at the boundary. So it will be a residential collector. But it is designed to transition from four lanes wide down to two. So the road will become narrower as it moves through Bona Vista. There will also be a four-way stop at the north end. There was discussion about how to treat that intersection, and a four-way stop will have a way of calming the traffic. It will stop people before they leave the neighborhood and move
into...
Bona Vista? At the north end of Bona Vista, this location here is a four-way stop on Evelyn Reese before traffic would either come into the neighborhood or go out of the neighborhood. And... the traffic study shows that Ward Avenue, as was previously mentioned, is a more attractive route for people doing trips that are longer trips. So more traffic will leave the neighborhood out Ward to 59 than will use Evelyn Reese because it is a small road. It is congested to some level. It's not over capacity at this point, and it will not be over capacity with the first phase of development, is what the traffic study is showing. And once Ward and the other connections are in, more trips will be using those roads instead. In the long future, as Ward extends to the west, it becomes a more attractive route, and traffic might even decrease on Evelyn Reese because people will be using that route as an exit to go west as well as 59 up to Bishop Grand. And so in the long run, this could help Evelyn Reese. There will be trips moving back and forth between the two neighborhoods, between the school, between the community center. The narrowing of the collector and the four-way stop are hoped to slow traffic down and keep it at a reasonable rate for a local street. It is a local street also with houses fronting onto it, which will hopefully give it a more neighborhood character and hopefully help to reduce speed. There's sidewalks and AT paths. So it is, yes, a local collector, but it is designed in a way to make it as local a street as possible and make Ward more attractive by making it somewhat less attractive for longer trips.
Is there any opportunity, like that's a long stretch of road too, the connector going to Evelyn Reese. Ryan and I deal with Aldgate all the time, which is kind of similar in nature, I think. Doesn't really have any breakup to it when you've got the long piece of park there, so you get a lot of pretty rapid traffic. Is there any other places there's going to be any kind of traffic calming on that road?
There isn't anything proposed. There would be access into the community center facility, which would likely take place in this location conceptually, is how we've shown it, near this intersection, so that would end up becoming a more major access point. And there would also be the transition between the four lanes down to the two lanes in this general area. So there would be cross traffic here, and there would be access, and then there would just be the local streets as the connection points. But there was not a control proposed.
There was a question about what would be the phasing for the area of Bona Vista south of that area there.
Sorry, I'll just go to the phase one and then there, maybe that's so.
Before we move to that, Dan, can I just,
yeah.
I just want to ask a couple more.
Sure.
Can we go back to the one you had up there? When my concern on it is not sort of regular folks just going to do something in the evening or whatever. My concern on it is people having to take their children to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know where the catchment area for schools for that entire first phase or that. The entire area that you have up there will be, Chances are a good part of it will be at the existing school in Island Lakes. And that's where that looks a little bit scary to me, is that amount of traffic coming from there to go to that school. It's all coming down, I don't know what it's called here, but what would be Evelyn Reese, you know, in the Island Lakes part. That could be a significant amount of traffic at peak, that morning peak, because it all hits at the same time, right, at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day. And I don't think it's that traffic isn't going to go out to Ward and down De La Seigneurie or to take some circuitous route to get there. It's going to take that direct road because the school's right at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can do anymore, but certainly as you proceed with this, there's got to be some looking at ensuring that roadway is safe, because that, I think, that's the one that also has the pathway on it as well?
It has an AT path on the east side and a sidewalk on the west.
Just along the all the way down to?
Yeah. So there's all along the east, all the way from the park at the north, so the AT path would begin here to connect into this piece of park, continue to the south, and then through here with a section being frontage road to be able to connect to the south.
And then it's just sidewalk where it gets to...
And then this piece is sidewalk, which is the same style of road that's provided along Evelyn Reese.
There's sidewalk on Evelyn Reese?
Not within the frontage roads, but on other, you know, so not where there are frontage roads.
Okay, I was going to ask about that secondary access as well, or did you want to move on to...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead,
a couple of brief things, just... Items 4 and item 6 here seem very technical in nature. I mean, most of our discussion here is about item 5, right, on the rezoning. I mean, 4, there's the Schaumburg Lane business and the bits that are actually outside the precinct, right?
The variance and the road closing.
Yeah, none of that.
So the variance is for a piece right here.
Right.
Just that's north. If you drew a straight line to connect the otherwise straight line, that's the north edge. There's a very small parcel outside of that line. So it would be north of a straight line drawn right there. That's what the variance is in relation to, which will at some point become part of this larger multifamily development. And the road closing...
Is that little triangle that the gentleman was...
Oh, that's it together. Oh, I thought that wasn't part of this application.
It is part of this rezoning application.
The rezoning, yeah, we got
but
stuck
it's a separate parcel that's too small to meet the requirements of the RMFM standard, and it requires a variance to allow it to be rezoned.
But Genstar owns it?
No.
City owns it?
Okay. City owned?
No, another developer owns it.
Okay.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they provided authority to make the application to allow for this to happen. The road opening closing is similar. The same developer owns these small remnant triangles, and those were pieces that weren't large enough to put in single-family lots consistent with the surrounding neighborhood. So what this road closing and opening is doing is allowing for this piece of road to connect through, and there will have to be some land negotiation to allow this land to be developed as single-family lots. It would be developed out in consistent way with the surrounding neighborhood, and there would be lots. But there are two developers, some that own small triangles at the front and some Genstar who own some small triangles at the back, and they will have to work together and come forward with a short-form subdivision to create residential lots in that location.
But those would be single-family residential. They'll be similar to what's existing there on those streets, right?
That's correct.
If they were backing on to the existing backyards, they would have the same setbacks and the same, so it would be consistent development.
Yes, it would be consistent development. The proposed zoning is R1M, so it's a medium single-family zone.
And you guys would be willing to go and meet there was a gentleman here that spoke to that. I thought I was mistaken. I thought it was actually outside of this. It was another application to come yet. So could you meet with them to discuss what that will look like, the gentleman that appeared here? Just to sort of let them know what you're anticipating, because it doesn't show the detail that you have on the phase one.
No, it doesn't. This plan, while it's conceptual, does show some of that intent. So the R1M zoning and the yellow blocks are typical single-family homes with front driveways. And so the reorganization of that land in the future will allow the creation of single-family lots in these locations. Now, these blocks aren't perfectly scaled or perfectly set back to show yards. It's just to show the intent of development. But that's how it would be lotted out and developed. It's not being proposed for anything other than the same type of development that pre-exists in the adjacent land.
Great.
And the other question I had was about the folks from San Jose talked about one particular 2.1 acres of land that's too sloped to be much use in the community center. And could that wouldn't we be further ahead to have 2.1 acres at a different location? Well, I mean, I understand you can't sketch out St. River Greenway for us here tonight, but what's the deal with the too slopey 2.1 acres?
And the administration might want to clarify if I misspeak, but part of all park spaces, particularly around retention ponds, are lands that are not flat. There are some sloped lands adjacent to retention ponds so that they can raise up to their high water level and then go beyond that so that they don't overflow into adjacent property. And that land that is outside of the actual lake is part of land dedication. That's how it's treated. And so there would be some sloped lands within all of the park spaces provided adjacent to water retention areas, including the 14-acre site that is being provided for the community center. Now, the 14 acres is not just the square for the community center. It is the entire green space. So there is a passive connection up along the north edge that's part of that green space. There's also a green space on the west side of the water retention that you can see more clearly in this map. So the 14.2 acres is the entirety of that green piece of PR. It includes this small connection, which allows this portion of the neighborhood to connect directly into the central park space. It's not just the area being provided for the community center. The community center is made up of the flat, or generally flat, area that is large enough to accommodate the playing fields, to accommodate the building, and to accommodate other amenities that the city has suggested. So the size of that 14.2 acres is more than just community center, and the size suggestion was sort of provided to us by the city by saying use two full-size soccer fields as a guideline, plus an 18,000 square foot building, plus some space for parking. And in our design with this configuration, we think there would also be space for a smaller baseball diamond, maybe a tennis court or some other amenity, or soccer fields that are smaller. The community center and parks folks were not able to tell us exactly what program space they would need, but that is approximately the size that they need to ensure that they can provide the programming that they will want to provide in the future.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to go back to the secondary road there, just as it's
sure
building out, because that's, I think you're also creating a situation where you're going to start the habit of people going out to Evelyn Reese. They, is that going to be open for all traffic or just construction traffic? The temporary, like, are you paving Ward all the way up and then just putting a temporary road in where the lots are?
I believe that's the intent, yes. Yeah, that is the intent.
So the ECG traffic.
For all traffic. So residents in that phase one can come out and go out Ward on that temporary secondary access.
Yes, but I mean, the intent is for construction traffic to be the primary access at that point, right? So that we're not routing construction traffic.
I understand, like, construction traffic, that's going to be where it comes through.
Yeah.
I get that. But in that phase one, the only way for those people to go out, if they can't go out that way, is going to be out Evelyn Reese.
That's correct.
Okay, so are you telling me they can't go out that way, or it's just construction traffic that can go out that
way? No, they can go out that way. I mean, that's what the ECG requires.
And it'll be paved?
The ECG report requires a secondary paved access to the phase.
Right.
And that would be provided as the second paved access, but it would be at a temporary level. It wouldn't be a full...
Even Ward Avenue.
Well, I guess, Ward, I'm not sure how that would be phased to that point. I don't know if...
Extend Ward Avenue there and just put temporary, the standard in where the...
Whether temporary or permanent.
Yeah. But just make it temporary where the lots go through. Because I think that's important in order to keep the traffic, to get the traffic flowing out that way that's going to... You know, I think the best access out of there is actually Elijah Moldier. I don't know why anybody would want to weave through...
Yeah.
Unless you're going, people are going to use De La Seigneurie if they're going west.
Sure.
Until Ward is punched through. So when does Ward get punched through right to the bridge?
That would be after this phase.
And there's a
in the precinct plan, it's not identified, but this area would pay for their share of it, as I mentioned. And then as the next phases would continue on there.
But there's no set triggering point?
Not at this
point. Yeah, it's kind of a, you know, it's the right place to start building, but it's kind of awkward to deal with managing the traffic.
And what are the phases after this?
They'd move down further to the south and then I believe up like that. So we'd start in this corner and then move down to the south and I believe back up this way.
Follow land drainage?
Yeah, following land drainage.
So following land drainage and servicing. So the outfall for the area is out here for land drainage. So all of the lakes will flow north and to the west. So the phasing will follow the servicing.
Yeah.
In that respect anyway, so for land drainage. So the first phase up here, this lake would be next to connect. This lake would then connect across. So the area that this lake serves in here would be likely in, you know, the next phases and then moving over to the area served by this lake. And then there's a lake down here at the bottom would be the final lake flowing again through the series of lakes out to the northwest. And development that is served by that lake would be in the final stages.
Okay.
The amount, there seems to be a significant amount of multifamily compared to other subdivisions. Are you comfortable with your ratio there, a multifamily to single family?
I think so. I mean, we've done some analysis in terms of where the shifting demographic is, and we are comfortable with the percentage split between the two. I mean, there's various forms and types of multifamily residential development too. I mean, there's 55 plus, there's condos, there's apartments, so there's a diversity of different uses that you could use in those multifamily areas. So we're fairly comfortable with the way it's a pattern and arranged right now. Yeah.
Again, going back to the conceptual drawing, not to say this is at all what each site would look like, but the concept even of the larger multifamily sites is that they might be made up of multiple forms of housing. It might not just be one form on that site. There might be some apartment buildings or larger buildings closer to the street with smaller ground-oriented units or condos or 55-plus higher-end facility or higher-end units facing the lakes and on the park spaces and in the amenities. So there's some very attractive multifamily sites along lakes and parks to provide a wide variety of tenure and price.
The bungalow or townhouse type condo that brings the density down.
Right. So the multifamily zones aren't, they're, again, a very wide variety of multifamily units would be intended for those sites. It's not that they would be built out as a sort of monoform multifamily building.
Okay.
Just a quick question, as Councillor Van Dalen and I spent about half our time dealing with gravel back lanes. So the lanes here, is that the same concrete as you would get, same concrete requirements as the streets? Right. Born at the cost of developer bears the cost. So it's built in as part of this process. Same concrete. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm ready to go to the ACG report and who read the amendments that are suggested.
Have you guys got any sort of ones that are fair ball and ones you want to talk about or do you want to discuss them all?
Yeah, I got the first one.
So I just do a small change to what they have. I just put that for any multifamily development or commercial development, and then comma and or accessory parking area, et cetera. So it basically says the same thing, just adds clarification that there's commercial buildings or commercial development as well in the CMU land.
Right. So we're just adding after multifamily, we're saying any multifamily and or commercial building?
Yeah, that for any multifamily development or commercial development, and then apostrophe and or accessory parking area and or signage, et cetera.
So you're comfortable with the...
With the amendment, yeah.
The RMS not going for plan approval?
No, it doesn't say that specifically. It just, it excludes detached single-family dwellings and two-family dwellings, which right. We normally don't include in plan approval clauses anyhow. Yeah. So it's...
So they're fine with that language. So what you said was any multifamily or commercial development?
Yeah.
Multifamily or commercial development. So we're striking the word building? And
yep.
We're adding multifamily and adding the line or multifamily or commercial development.
Yeah.
Okay, Rochelle, you got that?
So
I got it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Good?
Yep.
Okay, next.
Number two is a request, 0.8 reduction in berm height. Any comments on that?
It's recorded in the ECG report. So the 2 meters came from the FCM guidelines.
So this is along the railroad track?
It's along the railroad tracks, yeah. So that's a recommendation.
It's a recommendation.
That's a recommendation?
Yeah.
But it's the, oh yeah, the two.
Yeah, it came from the FCM
railroad proximity guidelines.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Railway Association standards.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay.
They just developed them.
Right. And yeah, I got it.
It's not a bylaw or anything, but it's
correct. No. With all the attention given railways lately, that
We have a setback already there, don't we?
Yeah.
With the PR lens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 15.2.
Because the. What's the PR line setback?
It's about 15 plus meters.
Yeah, well, for the next 50 years.
I don't remember the FCM recommendation. Like, this is a secondary line. It's not a primary line.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's a secondary line, so the setback from the rail is...
It's 100. So it's 100 feet, and in this instance...
45 meters in this recommendation.
It's a total of 30 meters, but 15 meters is going to be the public reserve land anyhow, so... Half of it's effectively taken up in the public reserve land that abuts it.
Okay.
It's in between the rail line and the rear yards of those
okay.
lots.
Okay, I'll handle this one. I move the recommendations. What's the third one? The 16-meter setback as opposed to 17.5. That's
consistent with actually the board. Yeah, we're going to request that change.
So you're fine with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But having said that, there's also for Elijah Woody right now. We have 50 meters, but to be consistent, it should be 17 and a half meters. So we would request that change too. That's in Clause B to this. And Clause A refers to Ward Avenue with a 16 meter, and Clause B would be regarding Elijah Mahoney, the setback.
This is 3A, or 2A, and then B?
I'm not sure what the numbers are.
So you're fine with the reduction on Ward, but you want to make it...
But increase the one on
increase the one on Lash.
To be consistent with the other areas. Yeah.
And if that's then, it would be duplicated in the zoning agreement as well.
We're just making sure we're understanding. You're okay with the decrease along Ward to 16 meters and that it doesn't apply where... The houses have the 10-meter green space between.
Yes, that's in the clause. It specifically says in the clause then.
Right. But you're increasing it along Lajamodier?
To be consistent with the other areas. Yes.
And increasing it to
17.5 from 15.
From 15.
For a single-family or two-family residence back on the Lajamodier Boulevard, the said lots will be established at a minimum rear yards of 15 meters. Which is the same as what it is on the other side of Lajamodier.
No, it's 17 and a half.
No, I thought we amended that. They asked for that to be amended. I remember that.
Who's there?
Qualico, when they did Sage Creek.
He's talking about Island Lakes.
Well, no, according to this conversation this morning, that's why we were
requested a change. Is that
okay?
Are you talking about like on? You're sure?
Yeah, he's sure. 17.5
17.5
Okay, let's move to the ACG. Okay.
We may have a concern with the 17.5 along Lajimodia. I think that's new, and I don't know if that's like the lot depths are.
If the number they originally give them, which I think is the same number, we gave Paul on the other side.
Okay, say, speak your piece. You have.
Well, we're just concerned that if we were always under the understanding we were going by 15, so we're not sure if we have the lot depth.
Actually, it was always 17.5, and then we adjusted it to 15. And now Public Works are saying no, it's just 17.5. So 17.5 was the original setback requirement.
And that's from the widened, or the like there is a PR strip or a widening along Lajimodia as well? So that's on top of the widening?
That's on top of the 10-meter widening? That's a large setback.
So I guess our
it's
where is it?
According to the administration, it's the norm for the area.
I think we amended it on the Sage Creek one. I don't know what was done in Island Lakes, but I'm pretty sure we amended it on Sage Creek.
Okay. Okay, we'll come back to that.
Thank you.
Let's move on to the ACG. Request an exemption to allow 6.25 meter lane as opposed to 7.25.
Yeah, Louis, does this create any problems?
Not really. I mean, the standard is for when you have multifamily sites, you need a wider public lane than single family. In this case, the public lane has multifamily on one side and single family on the other side. So it's a question of which one should govern.
But it's RMFS, which will be duplexes. Which is still multi.
It could be anything from single family to multifamily under RMFS. It's just a certain density. It's a low density multifamily is what it is.
Okay.
It's the maximum.
So
or
it's
high
a lower density. I don't
use it for 1,200 square feet of land.
Okay.
So we're okay with that? With the
yes.
Adjust for that.
Okay.
And then clause 5 is all related to the increased density or the right of way width and pavement. So we're okay with that too. It just goes ahead.
Okay, 4 and 5 are okay. Rochelle, you're getting this?
5 is good.
Yeah.
6.
Request clarification as well as automation.
I just want
to make sure that.
Yeah,
so Ward. Yes, 6 south of Ward.
And it's probably doing the show. I haven't even talked about phase one. It's, I keep thinking we're not dealing with the rest of it. So okay.
And 6, we're okay as long as we amended that 2 lanes south of Public Road
Ward.
Ward. No, Public Road 11. Because the intersection at Ward has to be 4 lanes. The intersection itself. And then they could take her down after that.
Okay.
So we could.
Do you understand? So what do you say? Okay, but we can agree with this and you can clean that up and through the ACG, through the agreement process?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. 7. It's already in.
Area charge to food cost financing and interest.
Yeah, it's in the. Our clause already, but for clarification, to spell it out.
It's in the clause already. Okay. Number 8.
And along with 8 is also just a
request.
That includes, this is just
plus
another
carrying cost.
Verifying that it's including the interest.
Yeah.
Carry.
That's in already, but.
It's in.
Okay. Yeah. Clarify it. So 8's okay. 9. The berm along Laj should be built to an equivalent standard to that provided in the north and subdivision area.
So we're back to that.
So we're back to that. Yeah. That's the same thing we were dealing with in the other recommendation. higher.
Okay. And you were saying it's 17 and a half, so that issue has not changed since 5 minutes ago.
This is the berm.
It has.
This is the berm.
This is the berm.
This is the berm now.
Okay.
The setback.
But the berm could be in the setback, right?
The equivalent standard. Mm-hmm.
What did it say?
What did it say?
The original plot says it should be done in accordance to the Director of Public Works. So I don't see what the point is to change it.
The original clause.
If the Director of Public Works thinks that it should be the equivalent standard, then.
There is no setback to Lajmoji.
No, the berm itself.
This is the berm.
No, but the setback's to Melnick. Right? Lajmoji doesn't exist, it doesn't front this development.
Well,
it's Melnick Road.
It's Melnick, yeah.
So you're not going to build a setback from Melnick Road. Melnick Road's already setback from Lajmoji.
Yep. Right. So that's, I guess, our concern with increasing the setback even further. There is already setback built into.
Oh yeah. So that's land. Why the clause says to the Director of Public Works. So.
Well, for the berm, I think Councillor Swandell is talking back to the setback clause rather than the berm. Yeah.
Well, because this is why this is a Melnick Road here.
Yeah.
And over here, I'm pretty sure we amended that in Sage.
Okay, so getting to the berm here. Request clarification of the berm along Lage.
So this is no berm along Lage.
So the amendment, you're asking for a berm along Lage, which doesn't exist.
So to be consistent with this, then.
Sure, but they're
here to
you may be shortchanging yourself. If they're backing onto Lage and you're backing onto Melnick, you may not need as much.
No, they're not backing on. There's this is the piece here. From Ward to here, that's existing development. They're talking, see, this is the issue. Okay, it's not like down here. It's this piece here. This is Melnick Road.
Yeah, I got it.
Right? So that's where it says. So they only need to come back into here to be consistent.
Yeah, okay. So. Are we talking the berm or the setbacks?
Just talking the berm.
This is the
berm.
So what do we mark it? Is we want to.
Okay.
What is there on the section to the north?
What's that?
What is there on the section to the north? I can't.
I'm not sure. I mean, our clause reads that you build a berm according to as approved by the Director of Public Works.
Yeah.
That's the standard. We've just asked to clarify that the berm or whatever is put in here is consistent with what was approved here.
Oh yeah, good.
And the clause just says consistent with or approved by the Director of Public Works, and we're fine with it being approved by the Director of Public Works. We just want to make sure that the standard is similar to the berm standard that was used here along Melnick Road.
And does anything make you think that it wouldn't be?
No, but we don't know because that hasn't been provided. So there hasn't been a specific.
I think we'll spend all night trying to figure this out. It's easier to leave the language the way it is. Let it be considered that the Director of Public Works, and if you don't like what the Director of Public Works says, then come forward and appeal that through the process that's laid out. But I don't think you're going to have a problem because I think it's pretty straightforward what you should be doing here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so we're not dealing with that clause at all. For tonight's purposes.
Hold the 2 meters.
That's number 10. That was number 10.
Well, number 10 is the 1.2 meter height along the railway tracks. And again, you talked about it in the planning report.
Okay, yeah, that's the same one. Okay, I'm sorry, you were right. It was number 9.
Number 9 is we're just leaving out of here for tonight. Right. Let them sort it out with the director.
Okay. Number 10's okay, too. I mean, just 2 meters.
Crossing. Okay. Okay.
Number 11, okay, here. Request a 16-year setback from Ward as opposed to...
Okay, what was 10? 10 we're okay with?
No, I think no, 10 is out because we've already covered it earlier.
That's the 1.2 meter?
Yeah. Make it a 2 meter. I mean, just keep it at 2. Number 11, request a 16-meter setback from Ward as opposed to 17.5 setback.
So this, again, is the same as the planner's report clause. It's just in both the planner's report and the ACG report, so it shows up as two requests, but it's the same.
The planner's report goes into the zoning agreement?
What did we decide for the planner's report?
16 meters. 16 meters. So this is okay.
Okay. This one's okay. Done.
Did you decide for number two?
Can the 16.6 meter berm be in the PR lands?
Hold to the 2 meter standard. Okay.
Otherwise, it's going to be from the CSR.
Right. Okay. So, I'm going to
So we're at the 16 meter, 17.5 meter.
Okay. Let me try to get rid of this. My computer's frozen. Nice.
You want the paper?
I've got the paper for the,
Here.
We'll let you have to deal with four than five and six.
We have to deal with four first, which is the road closing. No, we didn't ask any questions on any of this.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Didn't ask the admin their views on four.
Okay.
Here it goes. This is four. Well, where's the actual
Okay, is there anything else the administration would like to add before we go to recommendations? You're good? Anything else that you'd like to add? No? Okay. Good.
That's the only motion on the road.
Yes. Okay, on item four.
All right.
I'll move that... the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
All those in favor?
That's it for the rules of street code.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, that's carried.
Just go to five.
Item five is the subdivision rezoning.
Big bore on me.
Okay, I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Contrary, that's carried.
I'll move the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrary, carried.
I'll move the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in as amended. I'm going to move that the following amendments be brought forward. Let me just organize myself here. Relative to the document that was presented to us by the applicant, I will move in the planner's report, recommendation one.
No.
2A.
Is that two?
2AI.
Okay, 2AI be amended to include the accompanying paragraph with the words or commercial added after the multifamily. Is that right, Robert?
It was just...
You would take out, it would be multifamily or commercial development. So that for any multifamily or commercial development, comma, and or accessory parking area and or signage, as the clause reads. So it's just that minor amendment in the front part.
We're doing the strength and building. Multifamily or commercial development, comma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be an amendment. In the planner's report, recommendation 2A2, No, that one's omitted, so just won't deal with that.
What's that?
This one, we're not dealing with it.
Yeah, 282, you're not dealing with it.
Yeah. Okay. Recommendation
2A4.
What do we decide on that?
You were okay with it, the 16 meters there.
Okay, that'll be an amendment. Instead of 17 and a half. Following amendments to the ACG report. And also, in the actual, before I get to the ACG report, I'd like to also move that a couple of street names be added to the application. One would be named after the Malik family, who were pioneers in the area, Gene and Nicholas Malik. I can give this to you,
yes.
Rochelle.
Well, they're already on the approved street name list.
So they're on the approved street name list. And I also make the special request that former MLA for the area, who still lives in the Island Lakes area, Jack Reimer, be acknowledged in the street name list as the development moves forward. And following amendments to the ACG, I believe amendment number 4A6 was fine, as was 5.
Which was C5B.
C5B, yes, thank you. C5D was fine. Help me out here.
Yeah, except to amend that the developer shall install the two easterly lanes of Everland Reese south of public road number 11. So that would.
So the intersection.
So not Ward Avenue.
Not
public Ward, road.
Yeah.
Public road.
South
11.
Of public Ward. Or Pub- south of public road,
road 11.
You got that, Michelle?
Yes. So that is a new.
That would be the clause.
New clause being added.
Item 7, although is in, we'll clarify that to add the attached wording for 7.
So this is also a new clause.
I'm sorry, C7A. We will add the attached wording just for clarification.
C7A3.
Sub 8.
It says that it's a new provision.
C7A.
C7A8.
It's